Hey everybody, this is Senior Pastor Joshua B. Carson saying thank you for tuning into the CT Podcast. We hope that your time here, whether you're driving down the road or whether you're sitting at home with a journal and listening in, we hope that it's effective. Maybe it'll be inspirational, encouraging, maybe it'll be thought-provoking. Regardless of what session you're listening to, we truly pray that this is a benefit to you and to your family. God bless and enjoy the podcast. Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of Luke. Happy Mother's Day. Wow. To all of our amazing mothers out there, we understand that for being a mom is a tough job. Whew. Being a tough job. Men, I'm trying to help you out. Being a mom is a tough job. You're getting better, men. Some of you a little slower than others. Being a mom is a tough job. There you go. Welcome. Welcome. I'm trying to save the rest of your day. Especially if she's sitting near you, that's a good time to say amen. Being a mother is a tough job. It's a sensitive topic at times. It's, in fact, delicate as a topic for some that are in this room. For many, it may be joyous, but for some, it may be a tough day to be Mother's Day. But I want you to know this. The Lord is the keeper. He is the sustainer. And to our mothers that are in the building, my wife is going to come here in a few minutes and she's going to speak to us as well, and she's going to probably reiterate this. But we have mothers in a multitude of ways, whether biologically, whether it's through adoption, might even be spiritually, you're just a mother or a grandmother, whatever role you fit. You are necessary for not just your family, but for the kingdom of God. Amen. Luke chapter 1, and then we're going to go backwards to the book of Matthew. It's backwards in the Bible, but it's forwards in the order of this story. And that'll make sense here in just a moment. Verse 41 of Luke chapter 1, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth, everyone say Elizabeth, heard the salutation of Mary. Everyone say Mary. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, turn backwards, as I had already told you. We're turning backwards in the Bible, but forward in the story. Jesus has grown, and there are followers, and this is reading in chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, about a couple of these followers named James and John. Verse 20 says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. I was taught many years ago, when you ask of the Lord, ask specific. If you know the need, ask specific. And this is what she's doing. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom. Now, this mother has a tendency to get a bad rap. And we understand sometimes mamas think their kids are more than they are. But the truth is, I don't want to focus on that negative. I want to focus on the fact that even though these boys are grown, mama is still advocating for them, still believing for the best for them. We have three things that are playing out here, and I want you to take note of this. Elizabeth is going to birth the forerunner of Christ. Mary has been commissioned and called and selected by God to birth Christ, the fully God, fully man, the manifestation of God. And then here we have a mother that is going to birth the followers. Now, we have this predecessor, the one that's coming before, the one who would say, there cometh one after me who is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose, speaking of John the Baptist. Ladies and gentlemen, we needed there to be a forerunner. In accordance with the prophets, we needed there to be a forerunner. And then we needed Isaiah's prophecy to come to pass. Emmanuel would be with us. There would be a virgin that would birth a child. We do know that Mary was selected, and we needed Mary to be married. Now listen, Mary is to be honored, not worshiped. And then we would need the mother of James and John, because as sure as we need one to mother he who would come before, we need one that would mother those who would follow after, because according to the truth of the text, he established there would always be a church. And so from these three mothers and the theme of our year being the church, I want to preach for a few minutes on the thought. And then my wife is going to come up. I'll introduce. And don't worry, we're still going to only take one speaking time between the two of us. But we want to talk about what it means to be the mom. Be the mom. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you would help us in our time together, that you would bless these great people, that our church would be strengthened, that our mothers would be encouraged, that our families would be stronger than ever. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your hope in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everyone say amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here today. You and I, even though it's Mother's Day, you and I, we must be what God has called us to be. We cannot be what he has called someone else to be. We cannot be what we see in comparison with someone else, but we must be what God has so destined for us to be. Now, if we sell ourselves short of the will of God, I will tell you it is one of the ways I've seen people become more miserable than anything else. They live trying to live up to what other people are doing, or they live trying to compare themselves with other people, or they live grasping for things of this world that they think will bring them joy. But the truth is, if you really want to find joy, get in the will of God. If you really want to be happy, let the Spirit of God fill your life and let this word lead and guide and direct you. Ladies and gentlemen, and especially to the mothers, I want to tell you, I thank God for the miracle inside Elizabeth's womb. I thank God that Elizabeth was selected to birth the forerunner of Christ. I thank God that she would be able to birth someone who would be a powerful preacher and yet would be willing to say, I am not the Christ. I'm not the one. And listen, although he was not the Christ, it did not make his place insignificant or insufficient. We needed John to be John because we would need Christ to be Christ. And we need John to be John so that Christ can be Christ. And then we would need James and John. We would need men who, when the Bible says, now as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he was able to call after them. And the Bible says straightway they forsook their nets and they followed after him. As much as we needed John, and we obviously needed Christ, and he was the greatest need, but we would also need men that would follow later in the story, that would forsake everything to follow after him. It would be the start of the church with the disciples. My point is not to focus on these men. My point is to focus on these mothers. In order for us to have the stories of these men, even God in his ability to create, for the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis at the inception of it all, that he was able to take that which was without form and void, and he was able to begin speaking things into existence. I think it's important for us to recognize that God could have, in his ability and in his power and his authority, he could have simply spoken mankind as he pulled from the dust and created Adam, he could have created the second man or Christ Jesus that way, had it not been in the master plan of God that he would also allow a woman to be involved, a mother to be involved. And he so selected Mary for this process. Ladies, mothers, please hear me today. You are critical to the plan of God. You're critical to the plan of God. And I would say this here today, my opportunity to pastor you would be this. You don't need to compare yourself as a godly woman with women in an ungodly world and allow anybody or anyone or any agenda to ever make you feel that you are lesser, that you are weaker, that you should live up to some ideology or social custom that is not founded on the principles of the Word of God. What makes you powerful is not just the fact that you're a female, but you are powerful as a female. He put a high pain tolerance in most of you women. None of us men. We don't know. You ever heard of anything called the man cold? The reason it's got that. That opportunity, women are just strong. They're the one who carries in their womb a child. And I want to tell you, it is the divine plan of God that our women are strong, that they're strengthened, and that they're encouraged to be godly women. Godly women. So, there was recently, some time ago, a mock interview, a fake interview, and found this. I wanted to play this for the church. Fake job interview. They didn't know that they were actually getting interviewed to be a mother. Take a look here at this interview on the screen.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Oi. Hi, nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No.
Not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And isn't that the truth? Moms don't get a break. Moms don't get time off. Isn't it funny to watch their reaction? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can undervalue and underappreciate what's happening all the time. My favorite part of that video is when one lady starts to scratch like she's breaking out in hives a little bit at the thought of, how did I get into this interview? I want to say something to every mother under the sound of my voice before I introduce my wife. I believe that you were God-selected for your assignment. I believe that according to this text, individuals are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we oft say that even when we are dedicating our children. But I'll tell you, our opportunity to dedicate those children come because of families and because of mothers that are willing to be used and utilized for the kingdom of God. There is a very real enemy and an adversary that would love to come against the family. How many know it's true? It's not a new attack. It's not a new adventure or ploy by the enemy. It's an old dilemma that has always been faced against by the church. But we want our mothers to know we are believing that God is going to strengthen you and encourage you and help you not to be something that the world can give its stamp of approval, but something that the Lord says, that's a woman of virtue, that's a woman of honor, that is a mother that deserves a little bit of praise every now and then, that deserves a little bit of thanksgiving every now and then. And so before my wife comes, I want to take another opportunity to ask the people in the room, aren't we thankful for our mothers on this Mother's Day? Aren't we thankful for them? We honor them. We ask God's blessing upon them. And you were designed to be the mother God called you to be, not to live up with your neighbor, not to compare yourself to anyone else. And in my eyes, there's no one to compare to the lady that I'm about to bring to this podium. I, in all my life and in all my years of ministry, I've never heard anyone pray the way she prays. And I don't want to embarrass her, but the way I hear her travail over this church, she has a place where she is in intercession in our home, and it better be important to interrupt that time. It better be important. There have been a couple times I've been walking towards the room because I really needed something. And about the time I get to the door, I decide it wasn't that important. And I thank God for a praying wife and a praying mother. And I thank God for her burden for our church. Babe, we love you very much as the first lady of this church. Please come just share your heart with us here today.
Praise the Lord. And happy Mother's Day to all our moms. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom and grandma. They're not here right now, but I still want to give them honor because I'm so thankful for the heritage that I have. I am fifth generation Pentecostal, so my kids are six, and I'm so thankful that I can pass that on to them. And I pray that I can be the example that I need to be so they will continue this on to raise their kids in the fear of God. So who are my gardeners here today? Anybody into gardening? All right. And I have been blessed by some of you that have given me some of your vegetables and your fruits because I kind of have a green thumbish, I'll say. I started this little garden and we were able to get some things and we enjoyed it. Other things, I grew my first watermelon. Got to be about that big. It was not very sweet, so that was not very successful. So we'll try again maybe. I've gone to the store and picked up a packet of, they look like beautiful flowers, and I thought, oh, I can do this, just, you know, sprinkle them and take care of them here and there, and then when they start to grow, I'm like, are these weeds? Real long ones. I saw them, I thought, I'm going to put these in my little plant bucket. I can't think right now. And so then a month goes by, and I see this long stem, and I'm like, oh, they're weeds. What do I do? Only to find I had to wait two more months before I saw the bud for the flower. So I thought, okay, well, I didn't kill these. But my favorite plant, because it's the easiest of all, and ladies, you know, succulents. Anybody love succulents? I hope you love them because that's what you're taking home today for as your gift. They're beautiful, and they're going to put some on the screen. There's all different kinds, but they're so easy to take care of. That's one reason why I love them. They are beautiful. They help you breathe better at night because they purify the air. These are things that I read about when I started studying about succulents. I thought there's got to be more to these plants. They can survive in areas where most other plants cannot. In Western cultures, they symbolize eternal and everlasting love due to their uncanny ability to persevere in harsh conditions. And my favorite thing that I read about them is they are known as a symbol of tenacity, determination, strength, selflessness, love, peace, devotion, loyalty, endurance, and so many other things I couldn't believe as I went on and on and on. And I thought, that sounds like a mom. Sounds like a mom. What are moms? We saw in the video, that was great, because it's like, oh, that's so true. We're chefs, housekeepers, nurses, teachers, chauffeurs, event planners, referees. We're counselors. We're finance managers, dishwashers, receptionists, stylists, personal assistants, meal planners, life coaches, entertainers. We're investigators. Who did it? We're translators. Oh, she really didn't mean that. Dental hygienists, we're travel agents, researchers, personal trainers, bargain hunters, or cashiers for Marketplace, comforters, laundry services, lifeguards, and at times we're encyclopedias. Is there ever a stopping point? Do we ever get to clock in or clock out? Well, we do get to clock in, but do we ever clock out? Do we ever check out? We're always doing something. And as our kids grow up, the demands multiply. And sometimes, if we're honest, we spread ourselves too thin. We sacrifice. We want what's best for our kids, but sometimes we put ourselves on the back burner. We put our kids' needs before ours. We put ourselves last. We put their wants before our wants. We don't spend money on ourselves because I need to get the kids this. I need to do this. And we hold unrealistic expectations and wonder why we've hit brick walls and why we're burned out and I don't have the energy, I don't have the strength. We'll make sure our kids eat a healthy meal, but we're grabbing M&Ms as we run out the door to take them to different things that we signed them up to be a part of, or we put them in because we thought it would be good for them. And on top of a real world, we have the online world of social media. And in our world, many people struggle with insecurities. Many women struggle. And at times I wonder when I hear different ladies say anything, oh, I'm just not as good or I can't do that. But we do that to ourselves because God has called us to be what he wants us to be. We're all different. We all come in all different shapes and sizes. We all have certain talents that others don't. We're not all singers. We're not all musicians. We all can't decorate, right? But that's where we need each other. And we need to accept what God has given us and how he made us, no matter what we look like, but say, you know what, God, you chose these blue eyes for me. You chose the brown eyes for her. He made us how he wanted us to be. And if we're not careful, we will get on Instagram and we'll see, oh, look at her house. It's so picture perfect. But do you think she's going to post the picture of the sink of dirty dishes? Right? But as women, sometimes we compare ourselves. And we look at what they have. We look at her kids. Oh, her kids are so perfect. They're sitting so perfect on that step and smiling. And if we don't be careful, we compare and we think we're not good enough. Just like the pictures of the different succulent plants, we are unique and beautiful in our own way. So why do we try to be different than what God has called us to be? Our parenting may look different. When you have a garden, you care for that garden. You nurture it. You go out. You make sure you're watering it. You make sure there's plenty of soil. And you take your time because how you take care of your garden is going to depend on the outcome of that garden. Just like as moms. How we take care of our home, how we take care of us, is going to spill over on our kids. And if the musicians and singers will come, I ask our moms today, are you taking time for yourself? Because in some ways, we can be like the succulent plants where we think we need little maintenance. We're struggling, we're dragging. We don't have enough energy because we're doing this and we're doing that we don't even spend time on our knees or in the Word of God. We don't have time. We're so busy doing this and we're doing that and we're comparing and we're making sure we have the Pinterest perfect birthday party for our 2-year-old that won't even remember. And it's like, did we do that for them or did we do that for us? Did we do that for what we want to display? And I ask you today, what are you displaying? Because our kids are going to model what they see modeled. We can't just say, you need to spend time in your word and in devotion if they don't see us do it, because they're going to pass it on. I think about even in the stories in the Bible, how all the different generations carried on, and Eve will never know what became of her and her family. So we won't ever know, even the full, when our kids, my great-great-great-grandkids, I won't ever know, but I do want to know, and I want them to see what I modeled so they can pass it down. All it takes is for one generation to leave this truth behind. And unfortunately, for some, it's easier than others because they don't see. They were just told. They didn't have an understanding. Moms, we got to be in our word daily. We've got to seek guidance from our Heavenly Father so we know how to raise our kids, how to be good grandparents. If our kids all grow up with name brand clothes, they've got a cell phone by the time they're 10, they have all the Pinterest perfect birthdays, parties, but they leave our homes not knowing how to pray, we have failed. We have to have a love for this. We have to have an understanding. If we could all stand. And like it was already said, if you physically had kids, you adopted kids, you spiritually birthed kids, or you spiritually adopted, God wants you to be what He's called you to be. He's not asking you to be anybody else. He's not asking you to do something that you're not called to do. But He wants you to be what He's called you to be. I'd like all the moms to come forward. I know there's many different situations represented here today. Some of you, it might be hard. Your kids aren't able to be with you or they've walked away. And I just want to remind you that He's with you. He holds you in His hands. He knows where they're at. He sees every prayer that you've prayed. And He's there with you every step of the way. If we could all raise our hands, maybe link up with somebody. Moms, be an encouragement, and let's pray together. Lord, I pray for every mother here today, God. Lord, You know the struggles, God. The things that we face, God, things that maybe only You know about, maybe different current situations right now, God, where moms need You to intervene, God, where they need that extra strength, God. I pray against every insecurity, God, that's keeping a mother distracted or making her feel like she's not worth much. But God, I pray that she would remember who You have called her to be. God, that You would give her a boldness. Lord, that You would challenge every mother, God, to be in their word and on their knees. Oh God, we can't do this without You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, I worship You, Lord. Hallelujah.